Hello, thank you for calling Xbox Tech Support. My name is Hasim Gandolf, may I help you?
My Xbox 360 is broken.
The state of your console is a secret. A secret only holding down sync, then pressing eject can reveal. Do you see anything?
No, nothing. Wait, there are three red lights. I can't read what it means.
There are few who can. This is a defective Xbox 360.
In a world of broken consoles,
this Xbox cannot be fixed by any hairdryer that we here possess.
It is a gift. Why not use it against our enemies?
As what? A doorstop? Never trust Microsoft!
Nay, it must be returned from whence it came.
A quest has begun.
I will take it. I will take the Xbox to Texas.
To save $400.
I will help you lift the power supply, Gorgo.
You have my stylus.
Thank you, DS.
And my smudges.
Oh, PSP.
Gorgo is not going anywhere without Wii.
But evil is lurking in the shadows.
What news from Japan, my lord? What does the CEO command?
We have Blu-rays to build.
Sony has yet to unleash its most fearsome weapon, the one they say no console can beat, the PS3.
I just sort of, you know, go around asking evil characters questions, so yeah, what of the tech support wizard, almighty PS3?
I will break him!
Bill Gates, you can't win a console war.
I can't win a console war.
Sire, your mind has been poisoned!
The Xbox kiosks are strong, my lord. Their cords go deep.
Rip them all down.
Will the Fellowship reach Texas before the warranty runs out?
There is a foul smell upon the air.
It's the Dreamcast. He's been following us for 3 days.
Hey, what are you doing back there, Dreamcast?
Sneaky!
Alright.
The phone lines are lit. Xbox owners, call for help.
And Microsoft will answer.
Give me the Xbox.
You are not yourself.
I ask only for the power to play Oblivion.
Prepare yourself for the tech support adventure of a lifetime.
What are you doing? Drop it off at the repair center.
Never. The Xbox is mine.
No!
Lord of the Rings of Light.
Foolish Wii. No next-gen console can defeat me.
I am no next-gen console.
Coming soon to theaters and 27 different DVD editions.
Hello. This is the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 13. Note how I did not say hello and welcome back, even though I just said it. Here with me today is, once again, Jason Jones.
Yes, we're going to get in there today.
Expedition Borneo. Yes, we kind of had to think about some topics for today. We really didn't have any idea until about, I don't know, 3 hours ago. But we have some topics.
For better or worse.
I think they're all right. Here they are. Topic one, best and worst games based off movies / shows / licenses. This is kind of an interesting topic. I think it's generally improved over the years, although, End of the Matrix, that was supposed to be not very good. Remember?
Oh, that one they came out with, like, right around the time Reloaded and Revolutions came out.
Topic two, our opinions and experiences with the state of online gaming. We've talked about online gaming in the past, but we really haven't talked about us playing it, even though we have, so, you know, here's our take on it, like, things we've enjoyed. And our final topic is, yet again, kind of a movie-based topic, because Jones is abandoned from his own podcast, so to speak.
Yes, I've lost my co-host, so.
You've lost that loving feeling, yes. Like Tom. So anyway, our third and final topic are extremely late movie sequels, such as Die Hard 4, Indiana Jones 4, Rocky 6. What we think of them in general.
Rocky 6. I got some stuff in the basement.
Yeah, I think Indy 4 is probably one of the worst.
It's a bad idea.
Just for like the time span, it's going to be like 19 years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay. So
we'll
those
get
are
to that, though.
Yeah, when we get to it. So what's been going on in gaming or any new news with what you've been doing, Jones? Or like just to start it off?
Well, I finally got my big-ass TV last weekend.
As I act surprised.
Yes. Yeah, I got on board a little early before the basement was done, but they had some pretty wicked deals for the Super Bowl, and I couldn't really pass it up, so I got a 60-inch Sony XSRD monster. And so last weekend, Ben came over and we hooked up the PS3 to it and played some Resistance on it. And then
and the Xbox.
And then we had the 360, of course, that we played a bunch of stuff on. And
I was surprised at just how good the component cables looked for HD. I mean,
yeah, it, does
it wasn't
good
shabby.
Job.
I mean, yeah. Maybe it was a little more contrasty than the HDMI digital connection, but...
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Pretty good,
so,
not
yeah.
bad. I was surprised.
Like, Rainbow Six looked pretty awesome on it, so...
Yeah, I thought that was one of the better-looking ones, even more so than Gears of War, which...
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it has good graphics, but everything is, like, mud-colored, so...
Enjoying high-def gaming now, so...
Yeah, that was one of those things, As soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, I know what I'm going to do with my next spare blank amount of dollars.
Because yeah. Now you have to... Have you played Resistance since going back to the
regular
TV? Oh,
yeah, I have. And well, you know, if you play it on a regular TV, it doesn't look as bad as it does in low resolution on a big TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I haven't played it a lot, but that's yeah. not necessarily because of the TV.
Oh, yeah.
I might play it tonight. Oh, wait, no, I probably will be editing this stupid thing. I mean, this great podcast. Yeah. Oh, I was reading on IGN today that God of War, some of War game, God of War 2, they gave it a really good score, and they also said that it will run in 720p mode on your PS3, which is pretty
yeah,
cool, considering
nice
most PS3 games, that's pretty much all they run in.
Yeah.
So.
I'll have to test that out, I guess.
Yeah, it might... I don't know if it'll still be intact
still
at that
be
point.
Alive, yeah.
It might still work, so. Yeah, I'd like to test that out. So that's kind of cool that, you know, they have a old-gen game that can run in a higher resolution on the new system, but they don't lock it off to the new system just to make you buy the new system like some company I could think of.
Ahem.
All right, well, I guess we'll get started with our main topics then. Topic one, as I mentioned earlier, as in 4 minutes ago, best and worst games based off movies. Now, again, Jones and I are 1,000 years old, or so it seems. So
older than dirt, as it were.
We remember pretty much all of video gaming history. I mean, video games kind of started becoming
pretty
into vogue
close,
the first
yeah.
time when we were like, what, in kindergarten, I reckon, or so?
Yeah.
Or, well, even before
I guess
that,
Atari
but...
was kicking it a little before that, but...
But, you know, we think back to our earliest memories, and, you know, it's Atari, and so we pretty much have
yeah.
the gamut.
Yeah, we cut our teeth on the 2600, so...
Yes, literally. So, you know, we've seen a lot of these games, so we can remember quite a bit, so we're going to go over some of the best and worst ones that we can think of, and... What made them bad or good?
Or not, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on the list of good games, we just kind of threw this list together. It's not in any sort of order, but the first one I wrote down was Super Star Wars on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, which actually all three of the Star Wars games for the Super Nintendo were pretty cool, I thought, so...
I don't think great. I ever played the sequels.
Oh, I've got them. I should have loaned them to you.
The NES ones weren't that great.
Yeah, they were
okay.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. I did buy the Super Nintendo last fall. I should use that one of these days.
Yeah, they were great side-scrollers, and they had really cool... Like, the graphics were really cool at the time. You know,
I remember the music
cartoon-y.
Was really well done, too.
Yeah.
It really took advantage of that chip.
Yeah, those are really wicked games.
They were
kind of
tough, though, weren't they?
Yeah, I remember... I don't think I ever played through the Jedi one all the way, but, like, Empire Strikes Back, that one was pretty tough.
I remember it was a big deal when the first one came out.
Yeah.
Remember you had to fight that big monster with all the heads in the cantina?
Mm-hmm.
But it was awesome because, you know, when you're like 14 or whatever and you're playing that game and, you know, you go into the cantina and it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and you're like, wow, Super Nintendo's awesome!
Yep. And you had the great blaster upgrades and stuff you could do, and then in the second one they brought the lightsaber, like in Empire they brought the lightsaber.
Now I
want to
play
stuff.
That game.
Yeah, they were great. And you could do the snow speeder thing in Empire, too, and that was
well,
pretty
they,
well
and
done.
And they had what is that thing that Luke has in the first movie? What's the thing called? That he, his hover
oh,
car?
Yeah, the land speeder thing.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you got to do that thing where you're going across.
I was just trying to think of what Obi-Wan says. Your speeder, yeah.
Yeah, because you're, like, blasting across, and you can see, like, the sand crawler way out in the distance or something like that. And yes.
Then cool at the end, games. You had to go into the Death Star Trench. That was, like... Only about the third time you had to do that in a video game.
Yeah.
The original arcade Vector Star Wars game.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. Come
like
on.
You had to like sit in the chair with the controls and all that.
That was awesome. And then had all the voice samples. That was pretty cool in 83.
Yeah, we're really going to show our geek credentials here because we've got a lot of Star Wars games on this list.
Well, they...
Because they've actually, especially in the last few years, they've really turned the corner.
Do you remember Dark Forces, the Doom clone from the 90s?
I remember it, but I don't think I ever played it. But
it was
people
okay.
seemed to like it.
Yeah, yeah, Rebel Assault, I mean, now people look back and think, oh, look at this FMV game, but back in the day, it was to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another awesome one was that TIE Fighter game for the PC. I don't know if you ever played that, because they had, like, the X-Wing game, and then they came out with a TIE Fighter one.
And so yeah, I remember. I don't think I played it, but I definitely remember when it was the big thing. Well, even, like, those Rogue Squadron games on the N64
yeah,
and the GameCube,
that one
those
was
were,
cool.
Those were pretty big biz.
Man.
I'm not as big a Star Wars geek as Jones. I actually like Star Trek. Yeah.
No.
So there go more listeners. But anyway, I have noticed that usually the Star Wars games are all of at least decent quality.
Yeah.
Maybe not some of those Episode One games like Super Bombad
yeah,
Racing.
That
was God. Oh. That's a bad game.
Yeah, that's one of the worst games I've ever played. Almost unplayable.
Didn't we, like, split buying that? Remember that?
Yeah, we got it, like,
it was like $3
some
each.
Place, because we were going to have shitty game night, since we do the shitty movie night.
I don't, you know, I think shitty game might not be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't
although
think
if we,
so.
We did, do you have, well, we'll get to it. But
I do have some of these crappy old Nintendo ones, I think,
yeah.
that we could break out, but.
Okay, well, we might bring Star Wars back up again. Later on, or as we go through the good games. But, yeah, there are a lot of good Star Wars games. Oh, Empire Strikes Back on the 2600. Remember that classic?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool,
good.
The Parker Brothers one.
Yeah.
Okay, I got another. I haven't played it, but I assume you liked it, or at least...
My stupid phone. I can't turn the damn ringer off. So
you just
anyway.
Hate that phone, don't you?
Yeah, it's frickin' hell. Damn smartphones, anyway.
You obviously need to get an iPhone.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Okay, moving on. the Godfather game, the new one. What's your take on that? Because I know you have that.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I imagine it's by EA, and they did Saints Row, and so they probably use pretty much the same engine. I mean, it's basically a Grand Theft Auto
well,
clone
didn't the,
to
well,
some
didn't,
extent. But.
Well, the PS2, Xbox, whatever version predated Saints Row. Remember,
yes.
It came out like a year ago,
yeah.
So, well.
But it does a really good job, like especially for being a movie companion game. Because you're kind of like this thug who's coming up through the ranks in the Corleone family, and you get to actually take part in a lot of the things that happen in the movie, like the horse head scene. You get to do that, and the part where Michael's in that bar or restaurant or whatever with the crooked cop and stuff like that. You get to go plant the gun in the bathroom and all the stuff, and so it does a really good job of like adding new content that's outside the movie but keeping it in the same timeline as the movie, so you really feel like you're kind of taking part in the storyline of the film. It really surprised me. It's actually a really, really solid game and a lot of fun.
Didn't they say the Xbox 360 one was the one to get?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they have like extra stuff you can download for it too, like off the marketplace. Of course,
okay.
It costs money, but
well,
you
of
know.
Course. Oh yeah, that was yeah the $60,000 shotgun or whatever, or however that worked.
Yeah, not horse armor though. So.
Another one I have written down that I remember being a good video game was Batman on the NES. Remember?
Yeah, I actually thought of that one today while I was at work trying to think.
It had
stuff.
Nothing. None of the stages had anything to do with the movie, but
it was really good.
It was cool. Yeah,
it was a fun game.
Yeah, and they had a Genesis version, and an arcade version. All three were different, but the Genesis and the arcade version were kind of similar. I didn't like those as much. They were just
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Nintendo one was really good.
Yeah,
I wonder if I still have that. I'd have to break that out sometime. But.
Another good Nintendo game based off a license was DuckTales. I really enjoyed that
yeah.
one.
A lot
Capcom
of those
made a lot
games,
of those. Yeah,
like the Rescue Rangers and
yep, we have
all that
yeah
really
Rescue.
Good.
Remember Rescue Rangers was like dual player. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You could be Chip and Dale, the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, and like DuckTales, you had that cool thing where you could bounce around on Scrooge's cane and all that. That pogo jump or whatever they call
that
it.
That game was awesome.
Yeah, those were great.
Hey, remember the Terminator 2 arcade machine?
A little.
Oh, really?
I don't know if God,
it was
I
pretty cool. It was like
that?
One of the. It was one of the first ones to digitize graphics, even before Lethal Enforcers.
And that had the guns, like, in the arcade had mounted on it. Yep. Yeah, I think I might have played that once.
It's pretty cool. You're
like the graphics were pretty good with, like, the... Because you were kind of in the future in it, right?
Yeah, you start in
the battle
future.
Or whatever
yeah.
and all that, and so you get all the metal skeleton Terminators walking around that you got to blast and all that. Yeah, the Lord of the Rings, like, real-time strategy game. It's pretty cool. You can do, like, a good campaign... Or, you know, so you basically are trying to protect your ring bearers and do all this crap. And then there's also an evil campaign where you get to go and basically do the what if thing if they wouldn't have succeeded getting rid of the rings. And you go and destroy, like,
Lothlorien
and all these places. And you get to do the scourging of the Shire or whatever it is, or scouring of the Shire, whatever the hell it is. So you get to do that stuff, which is pretty wicked.
Well, that's cool. The thing that wasn't in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a typical... It's probably, you know, a pretty typical RTS game, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, the other Lord of the Rings games were perfectly fine games, too, I thought. They're action beat-em-ups.
Yeah, I don't think I played any of those, but I heard they were pretty decent
games.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't make me want to tear my eyeballs out. Okay, I see you have two more Star Wars games in a row. One of them I've played, and the other... But you're Lego Star Wars is great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the best uses of, like, a license I've seen in a game. Because it just has a lot of fun.
Yeah, because it's two licenses.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Lego and Star Wars. So, but it just has a lot of fun with it, especially, like, the new one where you can, like, build, you know, different vehicles and things out of Lego pieces. And
why do you think it is that Star Wars games always seem to have the best shot of being good? Is it just because... George Lucas has Lucasfilm, which makes games, or...
Yeah, because
a lot of these aren't made by that, because is that Traveler's Tales?
Traveler's Tales, yeah. But I think, you know, they have to consult with Lucasfilm on everything. You know, he doesn't just let you run off and do whatever with the license anymore.
But then the King Kong game was supposed to be, like, pretty tight like that, and then it seemed like that one was a lot more mixed.
Yeah, that one was kind of hit or miss. I played through that one, and like the Kong stuff was a lot of fun to play, where you actually get to be Kong and climbing around on vines and doing all sorts of crap, beating up dinosaurs. But the other stuff was pretty generic FPS, and it was kind of clunky. But yeah, I don't know with the Star Wars stuff. I think a lot of it's, you know, just for the geeks of us out there. You know, it's like the story really. You know, it's like
Star Wars. All these people making these games are probably Star Wars fans.
Yeah, so they don't really want to do a disservice to it. And I think the thing that really helps the Lego Star Wars games is that the people are injecting humor into the games, which is becoming more and more of a lost art form with video games, it seems like.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's just a lot of really funny moments in them. Like, you know, in the new one, you take Chewbacca and you can rip the arms off the stormtroopers and things like that. And it's a lot of fun.
Okay, and you also have Knights of the Old Republic here?
Yep. Yeah, those are really cool, like, you know, more of a RPG, kind of an action RPG game that sets itself, like, 4,000 years before the movies took place.
Well, here's something, though. Is it just that... Because there's been some bad Star Wars games, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Notably
yeah.
the ones that came out on Episode 1.
Yeah.
And, well...
I did like the Pod Racer game, though, I remember, but... But yeah, like, a lot of the other ones were just garbage.
But could it just because there's been so many Star Wars games that we only remember the good ones and there's just as many bad ones? Although I don't think that's necessarily
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, like, anymore, it seems like just in the last few years they really hit their stride. Because, like, you got the Battlefront games, you got these Knights of the Old Republic ones, you got the Lego Star Wars.
Oh, but what about Star Wars Galaxies? That's kind of been like a...
Yeah.
A sore spot.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up in the online section a little, because I actually did play that.
Okay, we'll save it then.
So we'll save it.
All right, we got one more good one you wrote down. This one definitely is a head-scratcher. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
It was, like, I played the, what was it? I played, like, the first couple, and they were, like, okay or whatever, but it was, like, you could only play as Harry, and they were kind of clunky to get through, but the last one they made, I mean, it's not a great game, but I thought it was pretty good, was the Goblet of Fire one, because it really ties itself to the storyline of the movie really well, and it actually lets you play three players if you want to. Like, each person can take one of the kids and play through it, and it's got pretty nice graphics for, you know, the system it's on, and the gameplay was pretty good, and it's an interesting game, and I thought the introduction of the three-player element was really nice, because that was kind of one of the frustrating things before, was just being able to play single-player.
Okay. Well, we'll move on now to some questionable video games from movies or licenses that we've played, and basically ones that I remembered, but I can't really remember if they were supposed to be good or not,
yeah.
As bad as that sounds. The first one is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the arcade version. Now, first of all, I'm not basing that off the movie because I definitely think Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is much better than the third movie.
Oh, yes.
So, because it's nice and dark.
That's right. Ripping hearts out of chests. Good time.
But do you remember the game, though?
I don't think I ever
played it. Really? It was made by Atari.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a, I don't know, isometric side-scroller, and you'd walk around and you'd, like, whip, and mid-80s Atari game, so it had lots of, like, crummy digitized speech, you know?
Okay.
And,
back in those days.
Yeah, you know, like, Blue Wizard needs food badly. So you don't remember it, really, so I guess that's kind of hard to discuss.
Well, but what did you... Did you have any feelings
about it? I don't know.
It was
worth a couple of quarters, I guess.
Yeah.
All those mid-80s Atari games all look the same. They're all kind of grainy with too much black.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They all kind of look the same. It's hard to explain. Like Batman was kind of like that, too. It's like they all were done with the same engine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, do you remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and the NES?
Don't think I ever played that one either. I don't think I ever played
and there's
any
two
Indiana
versions
Jones
of it.
Games for some reason.
Oh, which one? What'd you say?
I don't think I ever played any Indiana Jones games for some reason. I keep waiting for them to make a really good one, which is probably never going to happen. But.
Well, they did it. It's called a Tomb Raider. That doesn't suck.
Ah, yes.
No, wait, there's one coming for PS3, you remember?
Is there?
Yeah.
I know they've been talking about developing one for a few years. But
yeah,
I
don't know what it's called, but it uses some sort of physics engine where the action of the bad guys isn't scripted. It's, like, generated randomly. So I guess if you see it in motion, it's really impressive. It's like,
cool.
You know, when people, like, it's kind of like a more advanced version of ragdoll physics.
Cool.
Yeah, and I believe
that. Keep an eye on that.
I don't know
that.
If it's coming out this year. I think it might be. All I know is there's a part where he's, like, fighting people on top of a streetcar in San Francisco, which is where he lives, you know.
Oh, yeah, I saw a screenshot of that. Well, that might...
It's like a Chinese gang or something he's fighting.
That might be a reason to get a PS3 eventually.
Oh, there'll be reasons.
GT5.
Yep. Okay, remember Robocop on the NES?
Yeah.
Now, the arcade was pretty neat, but...
Yeah, the Nintendo one was, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those just... typical movie tie-in games of that era, where they
were all
kind of
there,
and they all played the same, and
I mean,
graphics were pretty much the same.
You know, everyone rips on games for being all similar now. If you think about it, in the 80s, I know this is going to sound like sacrilege, but everything was a side-scroller. I mean, that's just as limiting.
Oh, yeah.
But there was nothing else they could do. At least now they can choose. Do you remember Who Framed Roger Rabbit on the NES?
Yeah, a little bit. I was thinking of that one today, too, and you put it pretty much right where I thought it should have been, was in the questionable category.
It seemed like some people liked it. I never really got into it. I mean, I love that movie, but it doesn't mean I was going to go out and buy the game.
I remember playing it a little bit, but I don't remember a lot. I remember you could, like, drive around in the car and go to, like, Toontown and, like,
when you
the
could go into, like,
areas.
Buildings and talk to people.
Yeah.
That was an early Rare game, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, so was Wizards and Warriors, which predated it, but... Oh, what are some other ones? Remember Mission Impossible on the NES?
No.
That was a Konami game.
I played it on the Super Nintendo, but not the NES. Or was it N64? No, it was Super Nintendo.
Okay, what about Adam's Family for the SNES?
God, I don't remember much about that either. Very
it's another
little.
Side-scroller.
Man, all these questions... there was, like, Fester's Quest way back.
That
then,
was on the
too.
NES.
That was on the Nintendo, but...
I remember Gremlins 2 on the Nintendo. It was all right.
I probably
it. Was made by Sunsoft, so it was, at least had quality graphics and music. Okay, well, the last two questionable ones you put down here are both Tom movies. Days of Thunder is one of them.
Yeah, I remember that one was fairly interesting. Like, the racing wasn't the greatest in the world, but it was kind of neat because it was a racing game that tried to have a storyline go along with it, because you kind of follow the story of the movie where you start out with, like, no sponsor and you're on this, you know, ragtag team, and then eventually, if you do good, you get sponsors and you kind of move on through the game, and it's kind of interesting. It, you know, it didn't set the world on fire or anything, but it wasn't bad either. And then, oh god, then Top Gun.
I like Top Gun.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad game, but I mean, you know,
I mean, it was
like,
no Afterburner 2. Yeah, exactly.
You know, okay. I remember the part that pissed me off was when you had to dock with that airplane to get fuel.
Oh yeah,
that part freaking sucked.
And Afterburner's just automatic. You know, it doesn't make you.
Yeah. Oh god, that sucked. And Top Gun. Ugh. I remember I had trouble landing on aircraft carriers too. It's a good thing I didn't go into the Navy, I guess.
It's too bad Sega, I guess I didn't have to, but if Afterburner had been just a Top Gun game, I mean,
yeah,
it still would have been great. But fun of the reason it's called Afterburner 2 is it's the same game, just for some reason in America it was called Afterburner 2, and in Japan it's like Afterburner.
Huh.
I don't know why. Yeah. Man, off the top of my head, I can't really think of any more questionable ones, so I just want to move on to the bad ones.
Oh, sure.
Blatantly. You wrote this one down. Isn't this kind of like just passé to even bring up at this point?
Yeah, but, you know, we have to say it at least. Just because, you know.
All right, go ahead.
People think we're neglecting it or something.
Go for it.
E.T. for, what was it, the 2600?
Yep.
That it came out for?
Oh, remember they had Raiders of the Lost Ark for that, too. Those are some of the first movie games. They're both programmed by the same guy, who I've met.
Was that Nolan?
No, Howard Scott Warshaw.
Oh.
I met him, I'm like, what's the deal with E.T.? He's like, hey, I only had 6 weeks to program that. Buy my DVD.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, I guess he was an okay guy. I don't know.
But yeah, it was, I don't know, that game was just, I remember I played it like a couple times. I don't think I owned it. Somebody else had it, but it was, oh god! I just remember you'd fall in those pits,
yep,
and then you had to like levitate out.
And then the scientist would get you.
Ugh, yeah. Not good.
Yeah, it sold a lot, but
I suppose that makes sense since the movie made so much money.
Now, you know, at least E.T. as a movie and a game even has some like kind of, I don't know if I want. Well, the movie's great. The game is, you know, it's like, well, you remembered it. Everybody had it as a kid.
Yeah.
This next game that I think I wrote down is just a complete piece of shit. The movie's great, but the game is terrible. Total Recall on the NES.
Oh.
It's terrible.
I actually owned that one. I think I might still have it.
You're like Arnold, I guess, and
and you get to, like, run around with the thing, the towel on your head for a little while.
And you punch, you punch, like, rats and midgets and mice.
Yeah.
I don't remember him fighting any, well, he shot, he didn't shoot a rat. The other guy did, but
it's
really
bad.
Yeah. That's another one of those, like, Beam LJN games. We'll get to another one here in just a second. But
yeah, it's too bad that couldn't have got, like, the treatment like that Chronicles of Riddick game did.
Well,
you know,
Chronicles of Riddick kind of came out in the present day.
But I mean, yeah, but I mean, you know, like, it'd be nice if somebody could do that with Total Recall now.
Oh, yeah, that
I
was
guess,
a game that
know.
Was supposed to be good. I never played it, but
we played I played the demo that night because
it
was on the
that.
DVD when we rented it for Shitty Movie Night.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
oh,
it was
yeah,
actually kind of cool, it seemed like.
It got good ratings.
Yeah.
There's probably tons of games, you know, if you want to email us and tell us ones we've missed, good for you.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty.
Can you imagine, like, a Total Recall game now, if it was done right?
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. Just think, with the Wiimote, you could, like, pull the thing out of your skull and pull it out.
And that great Goldsmith score.
Yes. Start the recall.
That had one of the best Arnold lines, too. Consider that a divorce.
Yep. Oh, it was a good time. Too bad the game was complete shit.
You know, of course, that Minority Report started as Total Recall 2. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, just like Die Hard started as Commando 2.
Yeah.
So Arnold's like, I will not make those sequels. Give them to other people. Strap her to the blocks.
Yeah, Minority Report was another bad game. I didn't get to play it, but everything I read about it said it was pretty much horrible, unfortunately. Because it's a cool movie, but
yeah, it could lend itself to being a good game.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on with our bad game list. Back to the Future on the Nintendo.
Yeah, I know I played that. I don't remember much about it, but I remember it wasn't very good. Then they made, like, a sequel one that had both 2 and 3 on the same cartridge, right?
What a bargain.
Yeah.
I'm sure
two
it was
pieces of
bad.
Crap for the price of one.
Okay. Here's one I remember playing, but it's probably not very good. Actually, I think I tried playing on an emulator a while back, and yeah, it wasn't very good.
What?
Yeah. Rambo. Another great movie, but...
Yeah, I got...
You remember it was like a side-scroller, and... Yeah. You remember it started out, and what's-his-face comes to you in prison, and he's like, do you want to come out of prison? And then you had to select no or yes.
Oh, so it's like the Rambo 2.
Yeah, it's Rambo 2.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. God, I know I played that, and I think I owned it even, but I can't remember anything about it.
It's kind of hard to... It's kind of like Russian Attack meets Castlevania 2. That's the best way I can describe it. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good description.
There's what we need, a Rambo game.
Oh! God, that would be cool.
Run around with that knife.
It'd be kind of cool if it was in third person, like Gears of War.
Kind of like Gears, yeah. Because then you can see Rambo in the foreground.
I'm coming for you, Murdoch! Yep, and then you'd be playing the game, and the woman would be like, Rambo, you know, expendable, let's go to America! Yeah! it's not after she says, Rambo, you know, expendable, but it's right after he says he's going to take her back to America.
Yeah, it's pretty damn
it's like
12, quick.
Yeah, 12 frames later. It's not even a minute, it's more like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's quick. They did not screw around there.
Oh, yes. Remember the Jurassic Park games they farted out back in the day? Like
yeah.
For the Genesis and the Sega CD.
Yeah, those weren't very good.
Yeah.
Not
so,
too
Steven
odd.
Spielberg's record for video game movies aren't very good.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's allegedly, like, he's a fan of video games, isn't he? I think I've read that.
Yeah, it was...
So, what's up, Steve?
Yeah, he's, like... What was it? Well, like, one of his kids was, like, one of the testers for Medal of Honor or something, weren't they? Or one of the,
yes, in
it?
The credits. I think it's Max Spielberg is in the credits.
Yeah. And, like, there was something last year that came out where he was going to get more involved in, like, video game design, like, maybe working on the story.
Oh, actually, I was
like
on the last time I was on G4, they had a story about that.
Yeah.
During the segment where I stood off on the side and they cut to me and I had a reaction shot or whatever. But that was a couple years ago, though. But yeah, but think about it. We've mentioned a lot of...
Yeah, there's a lot of Spielberg
joints in there. At least questionable or bad Spielberg video game movies.
And there was a Jaws game for Nintendo back in the 80s that sucked, too.
Oh, and what about the new one, Jaws Unleashed?
But yeah, it didn't look very well done from what I watched of it. Amusing, maybe, but not
all right,
good.
So what Spielberg movie would make a cool video game?
Well, of course, you could make could actually make a good Indiana Jones game.
And maybe
course.
That will happen next year.
Yeah.
It's got a good shot, I mean...
And I would like. It would have been cool if they could have made a good Minority Report one because I really liked Minority Report. And yeah, you're not exactly gonna make like a Munich or Schindler's List game, I suppose, or Amistad. But,
yep.
And
hopefully you don't make a 1941 game.
Oh God. And I mean, you could theoretically make a good Jaws game too.
E.T. has no business being a game.
No. And, like, AI, you probably couldn't really make much of a game out of that.
Nah,
unless it was
not as much
kind of like an
ET.
RPG or something. But yeah, I mean...
See, Color Purple, Empire of the Sun, neither of those.
Always, no, probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, Hook was... They made several bad games of Hook, if you remember correctly.
Yes,
oh, man, we didn't even mention the games like Judge Dredd, Cutthroat Island, Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Last Action Hero and Cutthroat Island, I'm sure they didn't care. But those... They're unplayably bad.
Yeah.
So not only is it Steven Spielberg,
Arnold,
but it's Arnold. Arnold's now he had some good ones, you know, like Terminator 2. But yeah, so I think Arnold should introduce legislation that more video games with him in it are better. Otherwise, I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they're making that Conan game now, like online, but it's not like using his likeness or anything. But it's supposed to be like a massive multiplayer game that looks.
Oh yeah, Age of Conan.
Yeah, it's like for PC and 360, I think, or something.
Hmm.
It's supposed to come out later this year.
Do those games that are on both platforms or multi-platforms? Do they have the same worlds? You know, if you're like in Final Fantasy XI on the PS3, can you talk to people that are on the 360?
I think they said that's how this one's supposed to work.
That'd be cool. That's going to be the key.
Because didn't Quake 4 work that way for the 360?
Oh, I don't know.
I know there's been certain games for different platforms where they did make that move and made it work.
Oh, going back, if they made a modern Total Recall game, you could also use the Wiimote to do the jackhammer scene.
Oh, that's right.
Let's go to Mars. All right, and the last one you wrote down was, oh yeah, I remember this. I think this is another Beam/LGN masterpiece. The Hunt for Red October on the NES.
Yeah, it was like, you know, not that I'm a big sub fan or sub game fan or anything, but like Silent Service was out, and it was like,
oh god, you know, you are showing your age.
I know.
Of course, I remember it.
Yes. But it was like light years better than this thing. This was just, I don't know.
Yeah,
garbage.
It was pretty torrid.
It was like her sea quest, man, pissed all over it. That wasn't even subs, I guess, but what the hell.
You know the one you should see is this game called In the Hunt. It's a sub-arcade game, and it's from the same people. It was before they did Metal Slug, but it's pretty cool. I would, I'd like to get a PCB of it. Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much all the games based off movies.
Yes.
And these last two podcasts, it's like they're mirror images of each other.
Yeah.
We can think of, I don't know, if you want to like email us and remind us of some that we forgot about, go nuts.
Oh, we didn't say GoldenEye. We did somehow forget GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah, because...
Because GoldenEye is one of the all-time great movie...
Yes, it's probably what you call the gold standard.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I can't think of any movie game I've played more, maybe even enjoyed more.
That's pretty awesome, because it had the multiplayer and all that. And maybe it followed the movie really well and lent itself.
You remember how it came out 2 years after the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't rush it?
Yeah, because it was like 97 when it came out,
Yep, it was
right?
Almost the next Bond movie had come out, but it probably could have been a launch title because the N64 came out a year after the movie GoldenEye.
Yeah.
But they did it right.
Yeah.
On that token, I'm sure Duke Nukem Forever will not be as good as GoldenEye. But
what are you going to do?
Yeah, that was quite the game. Yeah, so okay, overall, best and worst. Would you say GoldenEye is probably the best?
Yeah, GoldenEye is right up there, and then I like the Battlefront and Lego Star Wars and things like that a lot as well. So.
And then at the very bottom of the barrel...
Yeah, like Total Recall and the Back to the Futures of the world. Those were all pretty bad.
All right. I would tend to agree with that. All right, well, we're going to move on. That was a long first topic. Don't worry. It's not going to go over an hour because these last topics aren't very long.
You lie.
Do I? Hey, there's some great games based off the Ninja Turtle license.
Yes.
I wasn't a fan of the first Nintendo one, but I love the arcade machine.
Yeah. I liked the first Nintendo one, but it wasn't great. It'd probably be in the questionable category.
Yeah, I know it was popular.
The arcade ones were awesome, though. And then, like, when they brought out the Super Nintendo ones and stuff later, those just friggin' rocked. That's what they need to make as a next-gen Turtles game side-scroller like that.
Well, I'm sure they're making one to come out with the movie.
Yeah, but it'll probably suck.
I
hope not, but...
Yeah. All right.
I read today they're making a Transformers tie-in game. Traveler's Tales is doing it to go along with the movie coming out.
Is it going
to
be Lego Transformers?
It didn't say it was.
Well, first of all, that movie is going to stink on ice.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. But when I saw Traveler's Tales, I'm like, oh, cool, maybe they'll make a Lego Transformers.
They've made some
game,
shitty games too, like Sonic 3D Blast and others. I should be able to think of.
I guess they're working on more Lego license games, so hopefully they can...
Like, they're going to do a Batman, aren't they? Isn't that the next one?
I read an interview with the guy the other day, and they asked him point blank about the Batman one, and he's like, well, we're developing Lego-related titles, or but he wouldn't say, but they make Batman Lego stuff, so you'd have to tend to think that they'll probably make one, which could be cool.
They should make God of War Legos.
It'd be cool. It would, man. I think about anything can be cool if done properly with the Lego license.
Okay, what about a Wii game based off the movie Wimbledon in Legos?
Sure. Gold.
All right, let's move on. We only have 19 minutes left.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I know. Next topic is our opinions and experiences with the state of online gaming. Now, you used to be kind of an anti-online gamer.
Yes.
And you'd be like, I hate Christmas and online gaming. Bah!
Humbug.
But you've kind of softened up after the ghost of online gaming past came to visit you.
Yes. I'm still a little gun-shy, I'd say, in some respects. Like, I still haven't gone online with, like, Rainbow Six and all that.
So were you spoiled by the whole SOCOM 2 and all the teeny boppers kind of thing? Was that part of it?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, back in the old days, like I've kind of talked about in previous podcasts, you know, but I mean, I've had good experiences, you know, like I played like Gears of War co-op with Jero from the forums and all that, and that was a lot of fun, played really well and all that, and like I've had some good experiences playing like PGR 3 online, and I don't know, it's just, I figure I'll probably go online and screw up, and you know, there's all these people that take this shit way too seriously, and I'll, like, get ridiculed to no end or something, but I suppose I should just get in there and try playing Rainbow Six and Graw and stuff like that online. And
because,
like,
I jumped in
with Resistance the other night, and I got my ass kicked, but it was still mildly amusing, I guess.
Well, you just gotta practice. I mean,
yeah.
I got my ass kicked.
Because I barely played that game. I mean,
now I kick ass!
For the Lord.
Dead Alive. That was a fun movie. Yeah. Well, one thing I'd like to say is I'm starting to enjoy console online gaming more than PC.
Gasp!
I used to love PC online, but a couple nights ago I was testing something and I'm like, well, I'm going to try Battlefield 2. And I used to be in a clan for that. I can believe it. But now I haven't played it probably since last summer. So I popped it in. And this is like 2 days ago, and this is after I've been playing, you know, we played a bunch of games the other night, and I've played Resistance a lot, and I pop it in, and I'm like, wow, this is a laggy piece of shit. And it's like, I'm aiming at this guy, and I'm pulling the trigger, and I can't hit him. And I'm just thinking, it's like, man, I forgot how, like, wanky this was. And now that game is, I mean, there's games that are a lot smoother than that, like, there's a lot of other games that are smoother than that one in particular, but I don't know. I just thought, you know, this isn't as cool as using a console. I know this is a big, not a 360, but a 180 for me to say that. But,
yeah.
But like a TV, you get like a decent-sized TV. Any TV is bigger than your computer monitor. Granted, the resolution isn't as high, but, yeah. You know. But you can sit there and your pop is on, in my case, and lean back and have your beer in your lap and, you know, just kind of chill out and play these video games. But like on a PC, you're like hunched over the computer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess consoles, I've always enjoyed playing on consoles anyway, more than PC. So I guess I'm glad that the online is maturing to the point where it can compete with what used to only be PC only for
that's true.
What it could do.
Yeah, I did have it soured a little bit, you know, back in the PS2 days. Like, I went online and played, like, the basketball games and stuff, and I, you know, played, like, NBA Live or whatever, and some guy came on from who knows where and played against, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James when he was a rookie, and he'd come down like from half court almost every possession and do like this goofy layup move thing and hit the three-pointer almost every time. And it was just like retarded because I'm like, I know he's cheating, I don't know how he's doing it, but it wasn't fun.
Right.
You know, and it's like, but with like,
well,
Xbox
that can
Live
still happen.
It can still happen, yeah, but I mean, for the most part, I'd say I've had good experiences on the next-gen systems, I guess, with the online, and we've speculated before, you know, that maybe the feedback system on the 360 makes a difference. Maybe it doesn't, I don't know, but it seems like people are, a bit more mature in how they play, and, like, I played Call of Duty 3 on there, and I got my ass kicked, but, you know, I'd just running around playing, and it wasn't painful, I guess. So.
Yeah, well, one thing to say on the maturity, although this is going to kind of be in the opposite direction. Think about, you know, when you play GoldenEye or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're there and you can trash talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to do online and
unless
I don't maybe
you know the people.
Well, right, but one thing I do like to trash talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know that. But sometimes online you don't want to. I mean, some people abuse it because it's anonymous, but on the same token, maybe you don't want to because it's anonymous, you know, if you have, like, scruples. And, yeah. Like when we were playing Lost Planet the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept it pretty reasonable. But
yeah. You were getting into it good there for a little while.
It was fun.
It was amusing. Good old teabag.
Yes, I introduced everyone that was there to the online gaming concept of teabagging.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I guess I should clarify that. It's, you kill a guy and you run over his corpse and you duck several times over his face.
Yeah,
and that's how you...
Before he respawns or whatever.
Yeah, and we were doing that with Lost Planet. So, you know, of course the people are like in the snow, but whatever. Go over there and get in there and...
Yeah, I know that was kind of fun back on the PS2. Like, I'd play that same NBA game, but I played with, like, one of my old high school buddies, and he lives, like, a few hours away, so we don't see each other very often, but we were still able to play against each other, and we could still, like, you know, trash-talk each other and all that,
right,
like we used to do, and that was fun, you know, where it was, like, a one-on-one experience
mm-hmm.
with somebody, you know, that you know. Then it was, like, that was pretty fun. It was kind of like
right.
the old days, so...
Well, one thing I like to do in online games is whatever sort of humiliation kill you can get.
Yeah.
Usually it's a bash him with the butt of your rifle or get him with a knife.
And that's, I noticed you were big on that in Resistance.
Oh, like, whenever possible.
Run up and you're like trying to bash him with a butt of your gun.
Because then you get like a melee attack ribbon or a stealth kill. And then the icon, it'll say like whoever. And it'll be like a fist, which
yeah.
means melee kill was killed by Ben Heck. And it's like, yeah, that's right. For all the world to see. I actually, this is good. I'm actually disappointed. If someone like sneaks up behind me and shoots me, I'm thinking, why didn't you bash me? I mean.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I would be pissed. But I would expect you to do it. Yeah. So, that's what I like to do, and I enjoy it. Resistance is fun, and it reminds me of older online games. It's just fast and arcadey,
yeah.
and...
Yeah, it seems to lend itself really well to it, and you can have, like, almost 40 people in a match and all that,
and the weapons
you know,
are fun, like the... Well, they're called air-fuel grenades, but I like to call them fuel-air grenades, because I think it's funnier. But you can just throw those everywhere, and there's big clouds of death, and
yeah.
it's fun. So
yeah,
and if you see me on there, you know, all eight owners of PS3s out there, I'm Ben Heck, believe it or not. So,
and at least there are online players for that game, because that's like the one game that everybody with a PS3 seems to have bought. So
yeah, a lot more people playing that online than the Wii. Ooh,
oh, that's right. We didn't make the vow before this podcast, so
that was a one-time deal.
That's right.
Come on, we
gloves
can't do
are
that.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah, so, let's see. Anything else you want to say about online before we move on to our third and short topic?
Well, you have that last blurb there in the online gaming thing.
Oh, yes. Okay, Jones, approximately what percentage chance in hell is there of you ever playing the top online game, I would assume probably now, of all time, World of Warcraft?
I would say about a 0% chance.
Yeah, I would agree. Apparently, it's like... You know, first one's free on the playground, hand out the crack.
Yeah, like then, 10 days or whatever, and then after that, you're hooked, supposedly.
Well, what I've heard is that if you try it, yeah, there's no escaping.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like
I'm not into swords and crap anyway.
I mean, I like the old Warcraft games. Like, Warcraft 2 was pretty cool, and my only experience with, like, a massive multiplayer game like that was that Star Wars Galaxies game, and I've heard that game's not a very good representation of it, but...
Oh, yeah, you were going to talk about that. What do you have to say?
Yeah, but, like, I bought it because I'm a Star Wars geek, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool, you know, it'll be a Star Wars world with all these other people out there. It'll be so much fun, and so I go and get in there, and I got it, like, 3 months or something after it had come out, so of course... This turned into one of those bad online experiences where I'm this noob, you know, that showed up out there, you know, and I'm going around trying to do stuff, and there were these people that have been playing since day one, and they all treated me like I was some sort of, you know, disease-ridden whatever, running around a leper or something, wandering around. Wouldn't have anything to do with me, wouldn't
leper
talk
noob.
To me. Yeah, you know, and it's just like, not fun, and then, like, to get ahead in the game, you sit there and, like, whittle, like, gun barrels and, like, silencers or whatever for, like, hours on end, and I'm like, how is this fun? This seems like work, and that's
Remember all the times that happened in the Star Wars movies, you know, or they'd sit around whittling gun barrels?
They'd cut to, like, Padme over there, you know, like...
I will whittle a gun barrel!
Making pottery for 15 minutes, but... And that's like World of Warcraft. Like, I've talked to people that play it, you know, and they're like, you know, they're in their clan or whatever, and they got some sort of like match tomorrow night at 7:30. They got to be there, you know. They got to train during the week or whatever, you know. And
that sucks.
And a lot of this stuff, it's like, you know, that sounds like work to me, and it sounds like a job that I have to pay to do. And it just doesn't sound like fun.
That's a good point. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's fun just to pop in. Well, I was in a clan, and that's exactly what it was like. You'd have like, how did that work? You'd usually have a practice and a match once a week, and it would usually be like on a Tuesday.
You'd practice for like hours and hours.
It would pretty much be at least 3 hours. And you'd like talk about the plan using the TeamSpeak thing, and then you would go into the map that you're going to play and just like have your own teams like practicing, and you'd like do speed runs, and that'd be like 3 hours. Then the match itself would be like, I don't know. It'd probably take
like
about
an
2 hours.
Or
yeah, but then you'd have to, like, you team up. And yeah, one of the reasons I got sick of it, not the reason I ended up quitting in the end, that was because someone with a tag of Ronin. But yeah, it was like work. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not really fun.
Yeah.
So I just...
I'd much rather just be able to pop a game in, you know, and play it because I want to play it.
Yeah, I've gotten probably 5 clan invites on Resistance.
Yeah.
Screw it. I'll be your friend on there, but not in your clan, because it's too much of a commitment.
Yeah.
And video games are supposed to be fun. All right, well, we better move on to our last very short topic here. Our last very short topic is extremely late movie sequels. I just noticed it seems like they've been kind of cropping up a lot more recently, you know, like these long dead franchises.
Like Rocky, that was...
Rocky 6.
What was it, like 16 years after? Was it 89 or 90 when 5 came out?
I thought it was 89.
Might have been 89.
Still, yeah, 16 years.
So it's like 17 years.
Not as bad as Indiana Jones 4, which is going to have been 19 years between movies.
This is
89 to 2008.
Well, then Die Hard's like 14 years or something. So wasn't it 93 or was it 94?
95.
95.
It'll be 12 years.
So, I mean, you know, over a decade again.
Time.
You know, it's like, come on.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious when these people do this. It's like, they're basically like screaming, hey, look at me, my career's over.
Well, yeah, it's like Harry.
Well, even like Hannibal, I wrote that down. That was
like a decade.
I know they had, you know, it took almost that long for the book to come out.
Because
It's pretty much book, movie, bam, like that. I mean, the Hannibal. But still, this.
Yeah,
like it was 10 years. It was 1991 to 2001, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because Silence won like the 91 Best Picture or whatever, and then Hannibal came out in 2000 or. Whatever, 2000. Actually, it was 2001 because Gladiator was in 2000.
Right, it was a Ridley Scott joint.
So yeah, it was a decade again. It's like, you know, let's pull the plug here at some point.
And
although Rocky Six was
good.
I probably enjoyed it more than any of the other Rockies, including the first one. I would say. I think it's a better movie probably than any.
Well, it was definitely better than Rocky IV.
Yes, but I mean, it's like. It was really,
it's been so long since I've seen Rocky 1.
It was a good movie and all that, but it was like, you know, still did it really need to exist. I'm glad it turned out good, but...
Well, I didn't see Rocky 5, but apparently it was pretty bad, so maybe it...
It's pretty bad.
Maybe it existed to, you know, heal the wounds.
That's what Stallone said. He said he wanted to end it on a high note,
Rocky 5 was very good. The next movie's been like, it's your movie after all.
Yeah, I think Indy 4, that's been trying to make it for so long.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons it's so annoying. Because remember, it was supposed to come out in like 95 originally.
Yeah.
And then they talk about it's going to have like Kevin Costner in it as his brother, Colin Hanks as his son. And it's like, do you realize that you're Batmaning it out?
Yeah.
Remember like what Schumacher did? Like, you throw in all these stupid ancillary characters, it's not even about the hero anymore. And.
Well, remember, wasn't it?
Natalie Portman as his daughter. It's like, come on.
I think it was when we were in line for Blade 2 that we did the bet on the opening weekend.
That
for
was
Indy
the Mimic
4.
Night, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
Oh.
But it was like, we did the bet, and that was, what, 6 years ago?
2002, it would have been.
5 years ago? So, and that was when they were really getting, you know, the churning.
It was
again
either 2001 or 2002.
Like, it was supposed to happen soon. And
no, it was before Spider-Man, because I bet you that would be the first movie to open at over $100 million.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man hadn't come out yet, so no movie had ever done that.
Yeah.
And it's still, I mean, it'll make a ton of money, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, that's been, like, you know, that was way back then, and they were really churning on it, like, oh, yeah, this thing's going to be coming out, you know, soon, and here we are 6 years later or whatever.
But all these movies we've brought up, all-star has-beens, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I love all those actors, but, you know, they're pretty much done.
They're pretty
much
past their prime, yeah.
Bruce Willis isn't quite as done as, like, Sylvester Stallone, but he's fairly low.
And Harrison Ford's pretty done, sorry to say it, but
he's a great guy, but...
He's gotten pretty tired lately, and, you know, I really don't want to see him running around with a whip or CGI whip or whatever the hell they have to do in this thing. I mean, he's like 64 or 65 or something. It's like, isn't he, like, older than Sean Connery was in Last Crusade
when he played his father? Sean Connery was 59 in Last Crusade, so that would have... So Harrison Ford has been older than him since...
For quite a while.
Oh, yeah, at least, how old is Harrison Ford anyway? He's like 64?
He's mid-60s now.
Well, even in the first Indiana Jones, he was like 38. I mean, he wasn't exactly a kid.
Well, yeah, because even when he played Han Solo at first, he was in his 30s.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, Arnold, you know, didn't start being in movies till that age too, but I don't know. Arnold wasn't, well, he's not as old, but...
Well, it's interesting, too.
Chris,
like,
Terminator 3 was a lot better than it had any right to be.
Yeah, it was. Very surprisingly so. Well, and one that gets brought up, too, which thankfully they're not making because the star realizes, hey, I'm old and there's no point in it, is another Dirty Harry movie. Because like
you
every
go to it in a heartbeat. Though.
Oh, I would, but it's like every time I see Clint get interviewed anymore, whoever's interviewing him invariably has to ask him about... A new Dirty Harry movie. And Clint says he gets asked about it all the time by the studios, like, would you like to do another one? And he's like, what would I do? He's like, I'm in my mid-70s. Am I going to be, like, retired out fishing somewhere? And, you know...
There's enough of those back in the day, like, well, at least five.
Yeah, they made
the
five
Deadpool
of them.
Deadpool was the last one, right?
Yes,
in
Deadpool 89? Was the last one. No, that was, like, mid-80s, because that was, like, a very, very early Jim Carrey movie. And Liam Neeson
was
in it, too. But at least that one, the star's like, no. Because the studio would green light that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but Clint Eastwood is not a washed-up guy. I mean,
no.
He's still making stuff and respected, whereas...
Yeah.
I don't know. Does people have enough money? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, if I was like Bruce Willis or Sylvester Stallone, I made like $20 million a movie for like five movies in a row, you know, I would like Cameron it up. You know, I would go build like a... future robot car or
something crazy.
Why not? I mean,
well, the thing too is like with Indy 4, you know, we like to keep picking on this one, but it's like, to me, Spielberg, it's a waste of his time to make it because he's moved on to much different material these days. He's got different
stuff.
Yeah, it's
not like he needs the money.
Yeah, and he's got different stuff on his mind. I mean,
and didn't they like flip flop the Abe Lincoln biopic to do it?
Yeah, which pissed me off because I was much more interested in seeing that. Like Abe Lincoln with Liam Neeson in it. I mean, that'd be cool to see, but it's like...
I wonder who John Wilkes Booth will be.
I don't know. Yeah. Jude Law.
I would say Gary Oldman, but he's already killed a president, so...
Yes. But yeah, so it's like, you know, he's making a lot cooler stuff, I think, today.
Well, that's one thing that's so cool
material.
About him. We've talked about this before, not on this podcast, but... All his movies are completely different from one another.
Yeah, that's why he's one of the great directors ever, I would say, because he can do pretty much anything.
Yeah, I guess we don't need this last part here.
Except all-out comedy, maybe, because 1941 was pretty terrible.
Yeah, but Catch Me If You Can was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Yeah, it wasn't...
It wasn't an all-out comedy, but it had its humorous
moments.
It
was very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that. That was actually my favorite movie that year. Screw the Two Towers.
How dare you? There was Minority Report was in there.
Minority Report wasn't... It was cool, but it wasn't like... Didn't blow my skirt up.
Oh. Of course, I didn't really care about the Two Towers.
Of course, well, both
of
us are like...
The Lord of the Rings movies.
We're both like two of the five people who actually liked AI, so...
Yes.
Hey, I thought... Yeah, it was great. Yes. That's a whole other subject.
But that's the stuff I want to see Spielberg make now, you know, like Munich or the Abe Lincoln movie or AI or anything.
Hey, he's going to make some new sci-fi movie, too.
Yeah, I think so. So it's like, do that stuff, Steve.
He does sci-fi pretty decently. I mean, Minority Report and AI, not everybody liked them, but for what they were. Because the point of making good sci-fi is you can't just make something that's in the future. You have to think about, why is this in the future? And you make the plot based off that. You know, it's basically, you only put it in the future because if you have technology. Like, in that case, what happens in the future? We can predict crimes. Okay, now we have a movie. Or it's about robots. It's not just like, this is 200 years in the future. Why? It just is.
Yeah. We have flying cars now. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. They should just keep trilogies as trilogies, wouldn't you say?
Yes. It's like, yeah, I don't know what that's all about. And one thing that's funny, too, is like, which is another disturbing thing that happens anymore, is everything has to be a trilogy now, apparently. Like, The Pirates of the Caribbean is a great
example.
That's
three podcasts in a row.
Yeah, sorry. And The Matrix is another example. Like, I did not get my skirt blown up by the original Matrix. Like, each time I see it, I like it less, sadly enough. But I recognize that it's still a good movie. But it was a success. And, oh my god, we have to create all this extra crap. You know, this whole mythic storyline and all that. And now we have two more movies, which underperformed. And then, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, it was meant to be a standalone movie. It was based on a goddamn amusement park ride. And then, all of a sudden, ooh, holy crap, this thing made $300 million domestically.
But Disney's never had a franchise, though. They've tried. You know, they had Dick Tracy.
Like a live-action
Rocketeer. Yeah, but they've never really gotten one off the ground.
But it's, yeah, I don't know. But, it was successful.
And I saw on Dark Horizons, they're rumbling about a fourth one.
Oh, God. But it's like, you know, that one is successful, so it's like, oh, okay, now we can't just make a second one, we have to just automatically turn it into a trilogy, and then they create this whole bullshit mythology and all this stuff that never needed to exist.
Well, maybe if they would treat the sequels, instead of just, it's the same thing with a video game movie. I'm sorry, a game based off a movie, they're like, oh, well, everyone saw the first movie, we can put whatever we want
just
on the screen and they'll come to see it. Same, we can make whatever game we want, fans of the movie will buy it. But I don't know if it was you or Dale who doesn't think part three is going to be all that, but Spider-Man, the second one, they could have just shat it out.
Yeah.
But they really
they
put a lot
job.
Of thought into it. Oh, I think they did more than a decent job.
I still say the last 20 minutes are weak, but
okay, they're weak, but I mean,
they did a good job. They didn't just rehash the first movie.
Right.
Like Pirates 2, it's just a bunch of rum jokes and, you know, crap.
They made a sequel the right way, which doesn't happen a whole lot, but it can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Spider-Man, I actually think Spider-Man 3 looks really good. Like,
yeah, and I don't care that what's-his-face killed his grandpa or whatever.
I think that's pretty, it doesn't really matter, but I think it's pretty lame. They could have come up with a better thing.
But nobody seems to care about that in the first Batman movie.
Yeah.
You know, because that
changed they didn't show it in the movie, though. You know, like, the first Spider-Man, you see Uncle Ben die.
You didn't see him get shot, though. Okay, I agree, it's a weak shoe-in, but
had
I don't care, I'm going to be there.
They should have just had where this dude killed, like, Peter Parker's grandparents or something, you know, just something we never
Whatever happened to Peter Parker's parents, huh?
Yeah, maybe he killed
them.
Because I don't read the comic books, I don't give a shit, just put something out there. But and, like, the X-Men movies, they did a good job with those, too.
Yeah, sequels that cared.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Superman 2... It could even be better than the first one. I mean, they said they were going to con it up.
Hmm.
So, I bet that's pretty good, because Bryan Singer made a good X-Men 2 movie, so...
Yeah. Well, and with Spider-Man, they're already talking about making, like, a 4 and a 5. They're already working on those.
Well,
Raimi is supposedly attached to do those, too.
See, I have a feeling that part 3, I think it'll be good, too, you know? Because if they were going to screw it up, they would have done it with part 2.
With 2, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, Matrix Revolution, I don't know, the second Matrix movie, whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah, and the third one was better. And I would bet that the third Pirates movie would be better than the second one.
It can't get any worse, so.
Right, but they already screwed it up. But Spider-Man, they already did it right, so I would expect that they would do it right again. Because Sony has approximately $5 trillion riding on things with the number 3 in it. So, because Spider-Man 3, I believe, is the most expensive movie ever now.
God. What is it, like $300
million?
$300 million. But yeah, like, you know, to get to your point, yeah, they, yeah, for the most part, they should leave things as trilogies. You know, like, we don't need an Indy 4, we don't need a Die Hard 4.
Back to the Future 4.
What?
Yeah.
They had better not touch that.
What's this crap with a CGI third Ghostbusters movie? You hear that, too?
I heard they're making a Ghostbusters game, which that's fine if they do a good job with that, but leave this shit alone. A Back to the Future 4? They tied it all up really well. Leave it alone.
Yeah, Doc Brown gives him the photograph or whatever, then he flies off in his flying train.
Train thing, yeah. He's got his kids and all that, and Marty's with Jennifer, and...
And he learns his lesson, and then doesn't race What's-His-Face, and
yeah.
End up working for a Red Hot Chili Pepper member, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it alone, Hollywood. Come up with some new ideas.
Tell you what,
already.
Hollywood, in lieu of sequels, just Jones and I will sell you movie ideas for $1,000 each. How's that sound?
Yeah, because we can come up with a lot better shit than what you're shoveling out.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, well, we've gone over. Maybe I can edit it down.
I told you, you lied.
Well, at least we filled up an hour. We weren't sure we'd be able to originally.
Yes.
Well, all right.
I can go on about movies forever, you know that. So.
Well, we are planning a next-gen DVD revisit in our next podcast. We could have done it for this one, but we want to
try something other than just Kong and Talladega Nights.
Right.
So.
Well, what we should do, we should do our next shitty movie night and just rent the movies in Blu-ray and high
HD,
def or HD. Because, you know, every other Blu-ray movie has Mila Jovovich, and she's been in a lot of shitty movies, even
yes,
though we've seen them all, unfortunately. All right. So if you have any other, but besides that, if you have a topic suggestions, please email them to me. Do not post them on the comments of my forums because I don't usually read those. All right, so I guess we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Happy gaming.